Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Moon, Moo, and You, The Collective Wisdom. Our guest today is Mary McManus, or Graceful Lady. Mary was on our show once before and discussed her experience with having polio as a child. She beat that one, and it revisited her in the form of post-polio syndrome in later years. She undoubtedly faces the challenge of this syndrome every day, but in her wisdom, she has a great deal to teach the world about strength, love, and creativity. The call-in number this evening is 347-205-9200. And let me bring Joan Adams on the call. Hello, Joan.
And a good afternoon, Kate. How are you?
Good. I forgot to say that you and I host this program. I usually say that. I totally forgot. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good.
Great.
Anxious to talk to Mary again.
And here she is. Let me bring her on. Hello, Graceful Lady.
Hello, at Squid Joan and at Moonvine.
Nice to hear you.
Did I do that right? And at Kate Loving, of course. Oh,
yeah,
it's great to be back. Thank you so much for having me back on your show.
Well, we appreciate your being here. Thank you. How have you been?
I have been well. I've had a new challenge that I've had to face since running the marathon, and that is some cervical spine disease issues. Which I've had for, probably 10 years. Mm-hmm. And when I was first diagnosed with post-polio syndrome, they discovered it. I had the symptoms, but nobody knew what it was. And then I went for an MRI, and I had trigger injections. And what that is that they go in and they put medicine right into the painful area. Mm-hmm. And through running the marathon, I basically ignored all of my pain, my aches and pains, because I knew if I focused on it, I wouldn't be able to accomplish that goal. So that was very appropriate at that time, but now it's time to revisit and to take care of myself once again. And the amazing thing in all of this is that what happened was I started having pain and different symptoms and whatnot. And years ago, as my former way of coping, I would have ignored it. I would have just said, it'll go away, or just sort of lived with the pain. And instead, what I did was I called immediately. I made an appointment with my fabulous doctor, got in for an injection, and then I said to him, "You know what? I think I want some physical therapy." And he said, "Okay." I wrote me an order. And it has been incredible because I'm learning more things about my body. I'm learning more ways to connect with my body. I'm also learning, as I'm getting older, the things that I need to do to take even better care of myself. So it's just been amazing. Also looking at where some of the pain and the blocks are still trapped in my body. And through the physical therapy and through this amazing journey, it's not only about healing the body. We know it's all one, mind, body, spirit. So it's another blessing because I'm healing on a deeper level and also realizing that there still are some residual feelings from the polio and post-polio. I can still struggle with my body and say, oh, why are you doing this to me? And I realize that when I'm in that state, I'm only making the symptoms worse. So I'm getting back into a state of peaceful acceptance. And so it's going very well. I've found, again, God sends me the most amazing angels. And this physical therapist specializes in the neck and upper back. And she's just been phenomenal. So it's another step in the journey. And, you know, we have to be open and flexible when things come up. And that's how I've been doing on a physical level. And on a spiritual level, I feel fantastic. I feel so incredibly blessed to be on this journey.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like a real lesson in how to take care of yourself and listening from a moment-to-moment basis on what your body is telling you, what your spirit is telling you, and people need to hear that, what you just said. And it's very important for people to learn that lesson.
You know, it is, because in today's world, it's funny, I was sitting outside, I live here in Boston, and I was sitting outside of Boston University. I've been really blessed that I have two students who are going to work with me to help me get the word out about polio and post-polio syndrome, my poetry, a documentary that's going to be coming out later this fall about my journey. And I was sitting there, and I was observing people. And, you know, there was this beautiful fountain. And today was just another perfect 10 in Boston. And everyone's got earbuds in their ears, connected to their iPods.
Oh, yeah.
They're texting. They're on the cell phone. They're on their laptops. And I was just sitting there with my face up to the sun, listening to the water of the fountain. And if everybody would stop and do that from time to time, I just think our world would be a much better place.
Wow, yeah.
I think it's scary that so many, and especially among the young people, you know, to walk around constantly with some kind of equipment hooked in your ear or texting somebody all the time. It's like, wait a minute. You know, there's a real world out there, and take a minute and look.
Slow down, right?
See. Yeah. Yes. You know, they used to say the thing about stop and smell the roses, but there's a lot of wisdom in that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're meant to wander around like that. I just think it's bizarre, especially at the high school level, you know. It's like, and if you drive through, we live in a college town, and if you drive through campus, that's what you see, exactly that same thing. You want to say, hey, how about say hello to the person standing next to you, you know?
Right.
Communicate a little bit.
And the person-to-person.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Kate.
No, I think that, like you were saying, just starting to say about the person-to-person relationships, listening to people when they talk to you is so important. Taking those cell phones and putting them away and really being present for people.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's all about being present in the moment. I find now that I'm really being deliberate and focusing on the moment and focusing on what am I doing now. And I really do believe that after I ran the marathon and I was on this incredible high, I mean, it was phenomenal. And then, you know, you come down from that, and it was a little disorienting for a while because for 15 months that was my goal, and it was achieved. And the blessing in that was that I now have it's a wonderful accomplishment, which brings attention to the polio and the post-polio syndrome and to my poetry. And so it was all meant to be. But I had to get my grounding again, and it was so easy to get caught up in the multitasking and whatnot. And I do believe that my neck was saying to me, you know, you can't go back into those old habits. And, you know, we actually accomplish more when we slow down.
Oh, I agree. Or when you do one thing at a time, right? One thing at a time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's so hard to do.
Yeah. I'm thinking of this great, sort of a spiritual, he is a total spiritual teacher. He's passed now, and he wrote a book called Take Your Time. And I'm looking for the book over here on my bookcase. And it's about just doing one thing at a time and always repeating a mantra inwardly. And like if you're in a line in a bank and everybody's very hassled and very much in a rush, and you tell the person who's waiting on you, take your time. Boy, do people respond to that. That is amazing. And here it is. Take your time. I can't believe I just was able to reach out and grab it. It's called Take Your Time, Finding Balance in a Hurried World by the author's name is Eknath Asrarun. Eknath. E, and his last name is Easwaran. And I've bought all his books. I just love the wisdom of this man. And when you read the book, you become transformed. Very, very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'll have to write a lens on that one.
I think so. I think that just fell off the shelf in your lap.
And I think there's a lot of truth. And he was, basically had a lot of wonderful things to say, and a lot of it has to do with taking care of yourself. But doing one thing at a time is something that people kind of like recoil from. Well, I don't have time to do one thing at a time. But I understand that there was something on TV or something that people widely saw recently that said you become so much more efficient when you just do slow down, take one thing at a time, concentrate wholly on that moment. Then if you're rushing around and you're, well, I think you become accident prone when you're rushing around like that.
I do too. I do.
Absolutely. And you know, you miss a lot.
Yeah.
You really miss a lot. And what happens is that we get so caught up in the earthly things that we tune out. All of that tunes out the divine wisdom that makes our path so much easier. I start off my day. I don't know if you've heard about Daily Word.
Love Daily Word.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Every morning, I start out with, I get up in the morning, and I have my exercises to do, and I stretch to just warm myself up. And then I can't wait until I'm going to have my oatmeal and my toast and my juice and open up my Daily Word and read the wisdom for the day. And first of all, it always seems to speak to whatever I'm dealing with on that particular day. And I just take time to really drink in that spiritual nourishment along with my breakfast. And then I've set a tone to start the day. And I do my journaling. I do my affirmations, and I do my gratitudes for the day and my intentions for the day. And so before I've gone on the computer, before I've done anything, I've connected with that source, that amazing source of wisdom and love and light and joy. And that's what that is as important to me as having a good breakfast.
Oh, yeah. I think it changes, it sets the tone for the day. And if you don't do it, you're sort of dangerously imbalanced. You know, you get off balance so much quicker.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to do it every day to gain sort of a, something happens, it builds upon each day when you do it, it builds upon the next. And it's very, very good for you.
And, you know, the blessing of post-polio, and I think we may have said this before, is to tell people, you know, you don't need a crisis to hit you over the head before
right.
you start implementing these healthy practices, which make life so much easier. I mean, once we're in touch with that source of divine wisdom, I mean, it's absolutely amazing the magic that happens. And, you know, it doesn't have to be post-polio cancer MS to make us slow down and to, as you said, to stop and smell the roses. That's my message to people is, you know, do it now, and don't wait, and don't, you know, I've learned how precious every single moment is, and every moment that that I'm pain-free, every moment that I can stand up, every moment, every step I take. I mean, these are things that I express such appreciation and gratitude for, and everybody can express appreciation and gratitude for the fact that, you know, you can see, you can hear, you can walk. Or look at Helen Keller. I mean, she couldn't walk. She couldn't. I don't know if you just heard that. My cat just came in. I think he's a great
good. Oh, good. Good. Welcome.
He's sharing his divine wisdom with us. They are so
yes.
wise.
Oh,
you know
yes.
what? He's right on cue. I mean, when I look at him, he sleeps when he's tired. He eats when he's hungry. He just needed
yeah.
to have his head rubbed. So he jumped up, and he didn't like the fact that the door was closed. And so now he's sitting down and just, you know, getting what he needs. Isn't
yeah.
that hysterical? Right on cue.
It is.
So we can
it is.
We can, yes.
He's just purring away, and he's turning exactly where he needs to have his head scratched. And, you know, I just – and the main thing is that, you know, when he's tired, he sleeps. He rests. He doesn't worry about, you know, am I going to miss an email or whatever. But what I was saying was, you know, that when we're in touch with the spirit, it's so incredible because – then we pay attention, then we can be awake, then we can be alert. And I just want to share with you I have on Twitter, I've been sharing my journey in terms of the polio and the post-polio. I've really been feeling a calling. And so End Polio Now is a campaign that's going on to eradicate polio worldwide. It
mm-hmm.
still exists in 4 countries. And the Gates Foundation donated $355 million to Rotary. And Rotary is in the process of matching that so that they will have the resources necessary to go in and eradicate polio in Afghanistan, India, Pakistan, and Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, End Polio Now is following me. And
oh, that's interesting.
Isn't that? Yeah, they found me
yeah.
on Twitter.
That's the power of Twitter.
It is.
Oh, it is.
Oh, I love it.
It really is.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went on one day, and you know how many tweets there are. I mean, you could get lost. But whatever I'm supposed to see, I will see when I'm supposed to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
what came up is that there's a benefit concert in New York with Itzhak Perlman, who's a polio survivor, the
mm-hmm.
virtuoso violinist.
Yes.
And he's going to be playing at Lincoln Center. And I meditated on whether or not it was meant for my husband and I to go to this concert. And part of me just felt like I am so meant to be there. And then I started saying, well, if I am so meant to be there, I needed to see, was this, you know, coming from divine or was this coming from my ego?
Uh-huh.
And I was sitting there, and then all of a sudden, everything just fell into place.
Mm.
It was incredible. I mean, just everything fell into place. And then I got this inspired idea that I would send a copy of my poetry book to Mr. Perlman and share my journey with him. Because, you know, despite the fact that his body was so ravaged at the age of 4 by polio, he has this incredible gift of music in his soul.
Yes, yes. And did you do that?
And I did that. And then I didn't stop there.
Mm-hmm.
I sent a copy of my book and my poems about the Boston Marathon, and I shared my entire journey with the assistant conductor who's conducting that night. And I said, you know, I think it would really add a richness to the program if I could read one of my poems. I just sent that last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what the universe has in store. If it's meant to be, it'll happen. If not, I'm just meant to be there. And I never know where one thing's going to lead. But all that's to say is that if I would have just been rushing through, I wouldn't have had the opportunity to have seen that tweet. And I would never have known that Itzhak Perlman was playing this concert. And I grew up in New York, and I used to go to the Young People's Concerts by Leonard Bernstein.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's also incredible to return to New York City, where I haven't been for a few years, and I haven't been to Lincoln Center since I was a little girl. And so it's just all pretty incredible. And then to see Mr. Perlman perform, who just is incredible, and to be reminded of the gifts of the spirit that come out of something as devastating as a crippling disease. It's just amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. And a thought just came to me. Do you know the statistics of the incidence of polio in these countries that you mentioned, Afghanistan, Nigeria, and I forget the third one?
Pakistan, India, Nigeria, and Afghanistan. I know that it's only, there are 99% of the cases of polio that have been eradicated. What's so difficult about tracking these cases is that they're in the remote areas.
Yeah.
And especially in Afghanistan, the Taliban has been resistant. But amazingly enough, recently, Rotary's been able to get in there and resume the vaccinations. So I don't know the incidence, but I do know there are still, you know, new cases, and the World Health Organization, UNICEF USA, and Rotary. And President Obama mentioned it in his speech to the UN that the U.S. has designated some money to eradicate polio. And, you know, what doesn't affect us, like it's not something that we see in the news, we don't think about and don't realize what's happening in other countries, malaria, polio, tuberculosis, diseases that have been wiped out here, you know, that still exist. But I saw this video on the Rotary website by Catherine Ott, who's a curator at the Smithsonian, and she put together this amazing exhibit about what happened to polio, and she said that polio was the AIDS of its day.
Oh, interesting.
That is interesting.
Well, once again, it's a virus that is a very... Leonard Lasko last week on the show, did you hear that show?
Did
you hear it? One of the things we didn't talk about was that he used the power of love to help people with the herpes virus. So what he would, and if he were here right now, he would say that the same usage could be applied to other viruses like polio and like the HIV virus, because the viruses act the same way, or, you know, they don't act identically, but they do act in destructive ways. And so he had tremendous luck, or not luck, but not luck at all.
Success.
Yes, thank you. Success with using love to heal the herpes virus. And just think of that he, it's the same could be easily applied to these other problematic diseases.
Well, you know, it's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. No, go ahead, Kate.
In addition to vaccines, of course.
Well, you know, the power of love, I'm so glad that you brought that up, because, and by the way, just to go back, everyone should listen to that show from last week. It was incredible. And, you know, my reminder, if you will, or the sign from the universe is seeing when the clock turns like 7:11 or 11:11 or 12:12, either the number 11 or the repeated numbers, like a 12:12.
Yes.
That's so funny. I mean, that was sort of subconscious, but he brought it to light. But, you know, the power of love, really what helped me to heal and continues to help me to heal as much as I have with post-polio is that I had to go from, well, I didn't have to, but I chose to go from hating my body, just hating my body, hating my life, real deep disgust, feeling that my body had betrayed me twice.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, out of the truly the dark night of the soul, and it was a dark night here in New England, in February of 2007, when I wrote the poem Running the Race, and for the mm-hmm. first time, I embraced me, if you will, in a brace. And I felt that I felt my divinity, and I felt that even though my body was racked with so many challenges, that I felt that my spirit could not be touched by that, that I was perfection.
Hmm.
And then when all this poetry just started pouring out of me, it's just laden with love and hope and possibility and gratitude and messages of light and love. And that power of love, I mean, I came out of my leg brace. And now mm-hmm. if I still needed the leg brace, so what? But, you know, so much in my body has healed. But the main thing is that my spirit is healed. And I've learned that, you know, now I sort of feel like Katharine Hepburn because I have these tremors. And I used to be very embarrassed for having these tremors. And now I say, well, my God, Katharine Hepburn was one of the classiest ladies I knew.
Yes.
And, you know, so to embrace it and to embrace yes. love.
Oh, yeah.
And,
mm-hmm.
and you, Kate, I'm sure you see that in your, you're still a practicing nurse, correct?
I am, yeah.
So I'm sure
and
you see that in the work that you do.
Well, I'm lucky because I work in labor and delivery, and so we can use a lot of alternative healing techniques there. And really, there isn't a whole lot of nursing where I think you can probably, no matter where you are in life, you know, just send and beam out love. But the thing about the birthing process is that you can really help people with a massage and with beaming love and with you know, just being very much graciously there and willing to serve, you can really help people through that process and prevent stuff.
I love that phrase, beaming love.
Yeah, mm-hmm. beamer. We can be love
yeah.
beamers wherever we are. It doesn't really matter where you are.
Or what you're doing.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can be sweeping. You can be sweeping the streets and be a love beamer. It doesn't really matter what you do. Yeah.
That is such
yes.
an important message. It is. It really is. It absolutely is. And I forget who I was. I was talking with somebody, and I had said, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're, you know, a clerk in CVS or, you know, what you're doing. You can help transform somebody's day
mm-hmm.
with a smile,
right?
With kindness, you know, with whatever. And yeah, it doesn't matter. The doing part is not what's important. And you know, in my journey, I had been so focused on doing. It was
mm-hmm.
all about the doing, and I forgot about the being.
Oh yeah, isn't that an important thing to make that distinction? I remember making a joke about that with a doctor years ago, and he really got into it. He was a resident at the time. And I talk about doing versus being and being versus doing, and he just latched onto that, and I think he took up meditation after that, and he started to really ponder this whole thing. And then when he finally left the residency, he was looking for jobs where he didn't have to work very much. And because I think he probably became a meditator full time after that.
And nobody needs it worse.
I know. I'm glad he latched on to it. It was funny.
Well, and he grabbed it young. That's a good thing.
Yes, yes. He would get so hassled by the stuff that was happening, you know. It is tough, that job as a doctor, because you have to be the one to figure it all out. And maybe you really don't, but they think they do. And it's tough.
Well, that's where Bernie Siegel, do you know his work?
Yeah, I just bought a book where he did he read a new, did he just write a new one, or?
Yes, Faith, Hope, and Healing.
Because I don't know if anybody here is, well, Dean Schrock is a man who just published a book called Why Love Heals. And he's a friend of Dr. Lasko's last week, and he's going to be on this show on the 27th of October. And Bernie Siegel was really into, had written, a little thing about how he liked Dean's book, and I think he was, and Dean Schrock quotes him widely throughout the book. So I hadn't heard about Bernie Siegel for a long time, so it sounds like he's still around. That's great.
Well, I just heard him last weekend, and I was a guest on his show. He has a HealthyLifestyle.net radio show, and we talked about the power of love, and we talked about writing poetry, doing art, expressing yourself, getting past the thinking and getting into the heart and living from your heart. And I learned about Bernie when I had lost use of my right arm. I had a very bad infection in the bone, and my nurse, God sends me all, as I kept saying, God sends me these angels. It's amazing. She gave me Bernie Siegel's cassette. That's in the 80s. And then I read his books, Peace, Love, and Healing.
Peace, Love, Healing,
Love, Medicine, and Miracles. But, you know, it takes a while to get these lessons. And I'd actually, back in the 80s, I was having problems conceiving, and I sent Bernie my pictures. He does spontaneous drawings, which are so powerful.
Yes.
Amazing, because it bypasses all of your words. And the poetry that I write really doesn't come from my head. It comes from my heart, from my spirit. Mm-hmm. And so that's the beauty of it, and that's what drawings can do, that's what art can do, and music, when you do that, you know, you're complete. But with Bernie, so I had sent him my drawings, and he had written back to me back in the 80s, this is before email, about where the blocks were and what I needed to focus on in order to heal. And I often joke about the fact that, you know, Bernie helped me to get pregnant. We sort of have that joke. But as he says, and it's so funny you're in labor and delivery, Kate, because he is a coach. He talks about being a birthing coach and how we rebirth ourselves. We have to continuously, you know, be renewed and be reborn and be awakened to our true selves and our authentic selves. So, and it was incredible because Bernie had us do drawings in the workshop this past Saturday, and I hadn't done them in so long, and he pointed out to me things that were going on, and so now I have the opportunity to journal and to reconnect and to just heal some things on a deeper level, and it's a continual process, and we're never done, you know, that's something that I am learning, is that, you know, I had this feeling of, that's done. I can close the chapter on that. And we do from time to time, but, you know, I think what our life experiences, what we do with them and how we continually grow and expand allow our spirits to continually transform is really what you know, the journey is all about.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
We weave in and out of that, too. I know for me, I will grab a book and read it and think I've, as you say, got it, and then pick up the same book 5 years later and see an entirely new lesson in it that I missed.
Oh, yeah.
I think we cycle that stuff all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just a continuous learning experience, all of it.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, if we look at it as Martina McBride, she has this wonderful song about that, you know, it's like a roller coaster ride.
Mm-hmm.
And you just sort of, you know, put your hands up and you don't know what's around the bend. And I'm sorry, Martina, I'm not doing a very good job. But whenever the song comes on, I sing with it because it's that feeling of, yeah, we don't know. But it's what we do with, you know, whatever is around the bend. And it's just, it's a phenomenal journey. And, you know, people sometimes will say to me, how do you feel blessed? I mean, you've been through polio. You left us. I had to leave my social work career. And I was at the, quote, unquote, top of my game. And, you know, had to leave before I could, quote, unquote, get my retirement, although God provides. And, you know, we get into these tracks where we see things as, you know, black and white, and we get almost programmed, and I was brainwashed. But, you know, people will look at the external circumstances and say, how can you feel blessed? And, you know, I deal with chronic pain, and, you know, you're going through physical therapy, and again, and, you know, going through a painful procedure. Trigger injections aren't fun, but, I mean, I express the pain, I cry about it, but I also focus on the fact that there's so much to learn and there's so much to celebrate and so much to be grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a message that, you know, when we get caught up in all this earthly stuff, we forget to look at the preciousness of what we have and what I can still do. I'm not... My physical therapist and spine doctor said no more running. So fine, I get on the recumbent bike and,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm,
pretend I'm doing the Tour de France. And, you know, imagination is a wonderful thing. And I never used my imagination as a kid because I just had to survive my childhood, truly, with the polio and a father who was alcoholic and mother who was, God bless her, had so many health problems and addicted to prescription painkillers. So I basically was an adult when I was a child.
Yes.
And so now I'm learning the power of the imagination. I mean, I actually visualize myself on the stage at Lincoln Center.
Mm-hmm.
Now, will that happen? I don't know, but boy, I sure do have fun imagining that.
Right.
And,
yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
And think of the message that I'll deliver, and, you know, here's this polio and post-polio survivor who ran the Boston Marathon and is delivering this message of, you know, going from the devastating effects of paralytic polio and dropping as a kindergartner at the age of 5. And just, that's my screen name, Graceful Lady, and you know, still feeling that I have grace and dignity and I am perfect and complete and whole, you know, just as I am with my tremors and with, you know, my fatigue at times and, you know, with just all the things, my little crooked in my neck and everything. And it's okay, you know. And that, it's just amazing how the spirit can shine through all of it. And that's,
mm-hmm,
a miracle.
Yes, it is. I know you had mentioned Helen Keller earlier, and there was quite, she was just a pure spiritual being with a body that, you know, had problems with what we would think were problems, but it turns out that for her, it was obstacles that she overcame, and she was a hugely resilient person. And I just love to think about what you've gone through and what people like her have gone through. It's just an amazing life lesson for all of us.
And you know, speaking of Helen Keller, we were on our last training run, our last long training run before the marathon. And we were on, for the Boston Marathon, there's a series of hills called Heartbreak Hill. It's 20 miles into the race, and it's a series of hills. And on our last training run, it was a short run, only 10 and a half miles. It was our last long run, short run, whatever. Anyway, my daughter stops in the middle of Heartbreak Hill, and she says, "Mommy, stop." And I said, "What's wrong?" I thought, oh, my God, we're, you know, like 3 weeks before Marathon Monday, what's wrong? And just the way she had said that, and she said, "Look." And I said, "What?" And she stuck in the mud, and God knows how she saw this because, you know, it's not something that just stuck out. Stuck in the mud is a quarter. So she pulls it out because we found all these signs. I can share that with you. But she pulls out the quarter, and we clean it off from the mud, and it's a Helen Keller quarter.
Of course.
Oh, my gosh.
Of course. Perfectly beautiful. Yes.
And that was God saying at the top of Heartbreak Hill, you guys.
Yes, you can.
Yes, you can.
Do it. Yes, you can. Wow, that's beautiful.
And then we went on to find two more pennies. So the marathon's 26.2 miles. We found a total of 27 cents that day. And God was saying,
wow,
you have more than enough. Mm-hmm. And not only in terms of the mileage and everything, just blessing us. I mean, we had these incidents of finding money all through our training. It was crazy. We found $4 bills stuck together in the rain one day, and there are four people in our family, and we'd gone through, you know, they're just with this commitment and with this, all the transformation and change we were going through, there was a lot of turmoil in the family, and there were a lot of demands, but when we found those $4 bills stuck together, we knew God was saying, trust in me, trust in the love, and, you know, you will sail through this. And we did, and it was just these signs. And Bernie talks about pennies from heaven. And have you guys found pennies, or have you found?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I love those.
Treasure
I love
those.
That.
Yes. They're always
a
sign to me. In fact, I always think my brother drops them. He's on the other side, and I always think he's sending them.
The pennies from heaven from your brother.
I always think that, yes. I don't think those are accidents at all when we find those. I think they mean something different to different people. But I think there is always a message in them.
Well, I must now bring up the secret dollar man.
Yes.
Todd Silva. He was on the show one time, and we must bring him back for Joan because Joan wasn't able to be on that show. And he is a man who, he has a film on YouTube where he sneaks around in a with sunglasses, and he drops dollars at different, every day he drops a dollar in a different place. So that's just that when that person finds it, that they have that great feeling of, oh my gosh, you know, I found a dollar kind of thing. You go into a supermarket and you drop it behind, you know, a can of sauerkraut or something, or just drop it in the street. And he
put one in a magazine?
I'm sure.
He also speaks at Unity groups and things, so you may have heard him there.
I'm in the process of getting connected with Unity here in the greater Boston area because I just think they're amazing.
Yes.
But that is so funny. And actually, you know, I don't know if it was through your show that I heard about him or I found he's on Twitter or somehow I found him. And for a week, I did that, and it was so much fun.
It raises your energy, doesn't it?
It does, because it's not only that you're giving, but you're thinking, oh, I wonder who's going to find this, and I wonder what their reaction is going to be, and it's just incredible, and that, you know, that speaks to the beams of love and just, you know, what we put out there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
it's and he also has a Blog Talk Radio show, I believe. He's all over the internet, and he writes quite a bit about these things. And yeah, he's also an original friend of Pat O'Brien, so that's how we met him. I think that's how I met him anyway.
Yeah, it is exactly, and he's just such a nice person.
Yes, he is.
Very genuine kind of person, and a musician besides.
Really?
Yeah, so he's quite talented.
Wow.
And
wow.
A nice fella. Nice fella.
So whenever, whenever we find these dollars or quarters, I always wonder, somebody dropped them just for somebody like us to find them, you know?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think there's always something. There's always a message, and it may take us a minute to think what it is, but we know, inside of us, we know
mm-hmm.
what that means
mm-hmm.
on that
And, you know, on the penny it says, in God we trust.
Right.
Yes,
right.
I know. Isn't that, that's very significant.
Mm-hmm.
And then, does it also say liberty, or?
I don't have one around at the moment to look at.
I don't have one in front of me either, but I know that God We Trust is on there, and there at one time, that was I had read that, and that when you found one, it was a reminder to trust. So
yes,
yeah, any of those, and to me that is not superstition. That is using signs from heaven to build your faith, and there can't be anything wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
No,
mm-hmm.
no. If you look at money like that, I think you're certainly helping to clear your false beliefs about money by thinking of it as a faith measure.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes.
Yes, yes.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, oh, I'll tell you, you could probably spend a whole show talking about, you know, how we can get attached to money and the fear and the lack and all of that. And the other thing that I do in the morning, actually before I get out of bed, is I do meditation, and I check in with myself and I see if there are any areas where I'm feeling that clutch of fear, that solar
mm-hmm.
plexus clutch. And I must say, you know, it's amazing when we change habits, because I used to wake up every morning with that clutch of fear, feeling like forgetting that, you know, I have this marvelous safety net called God and faith.
Oh, yeah.
And hope and possibility and all of it. But I'd wake up and I would have that clutch of fear. And then through just God sending me so many beautiful teachers, and then again, through the gift of poetry, releasing those fears, that now when I wake up, unless there's something that's, you know, recently happened that may trigger something, but for the most part, I wake up and I'm feeling peaceful, and I do an inventory and I clear my energy for the day. If there are any kind of toxic thoughts that are hanging out there trying to take hold, so that before I get out of bed, I have cleared the energy.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get these reminders that, you know, I'm here for you. Ask and ye
mm-hmm.
shall receive. And it's true when we open ourselves up.
Yeah. Just like that book falling off the shelf. That was very cool.
Yes. Yes. And I think books do that.
Oh,
I
yes.
I think more often than not that kind of thing has happened to me with a book. And that says something to us, too, about the power of the written word.
Yes.
Because I have had that happen over and over again with books, and have had it happen in a bookstore where a book seems to jump off the shelf and into my hand, and I go, what am I doing with this? I think I better buy it, you know?
Exactly. I'll never forget the time soon after my mother died, maybe, you know, within a year or so, I was talking to my brother on the phone, and I was looking out the window as we were talking about our mother and certain things about her, and suddenly, something happened that I will never forget. A huge snowy white owl, and I've never seen one before or since, came flying towards me at the window at huge speeds, and it was coming at me, and I even ducked, like, oh my God, it's going to crash through the window. And it just went straight up into the air at the last minute and disappeared. So I almost fainted on that one. And I said to my brother, oh, my gosh, she's come back as a snowy white owl.
Mm-hmm.
And so then...
She heard you.
Yeah. Oh, shit. It's like, oh, my God. So then, not too long afterwards, I was cleaning the room, and at the time, I had a bookcase in my room and near the bed, and I was thinking about that incident of, gee, you know, that was just an amazing experience. I will never forget it, you know, blah, blah, blah. And suddenly, a book fell onto the ground off the bookshelf.
Yeah.
And I opened it up, and it was a bird book. And I didn't even open it up. It fell open at the snowy white owl.
Snowy white owl. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So that wow. And the thing is, they are not indigenous to this area. I mean, it was, you know, there's no earthly explanation for it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that was, these owls are very powerful. They are just amazing creatures. So,
those are the kinds of things, you know, for me, it's butterflies. When different friends of mine have crossed over, there'll be these butterflies. And a dear friend of mine, he was the former dean of students at BU, and he was started out as a patient of mine at the VA, and then we just became really, really close friends, just an amazing, amazing man. And he died, and this beautiful white butterfly just kept flying around and around and around and around. And 6 months later, his wife died. They were soulmates. I mean, they could not live without each other. And then this second butterfly, white butterfly, the two of them were just like doing this beautiful dance. And I knew that they were together. And the dean, Norm's best friend, whom I'm also friends with, was in Martha's Vineyard, which is where Norm also had a house. And Herb and his family went down there. And I hadn't seen the butterflies for a while. And when Herb got back, he said, there were these two butterflies flying around our house. And he said, I don't know what was going on. They were just these two white butterflies.
Oh,
that was Helen and Norm, and they love the vineyard. They loved you, and you know that was their way of letting us know, both know, that they were together. They were happy, and you know they were free. They were flying free. They made their transformation, and you know we talk about these things, and all three of us. I mean, this is like second nature to us, but
yes.
There are a lot of people out there who. You know, aren't tuned in, and you know, I'm hoping that if somebody's out there listening, that maybe we can, you know, let that light in and open up that awareness and say, yeah, this is what happens, you know. And once you start paying attention, you'll see it also. There's a fabulous book called God Stories by Jennifer Skiff. Have you heard of it?
Oh no, I must write that down.
I don't know that one.
Oh.
God Stories.
God's Stories, and this is so incredible because I was on the Jordan Ridge Show, which is a whole other story of synchronicity, here in Boston, and I will go on his website and see, oh, who's his guest? He's on very late at night, so I usually don't stay up for it, but if he's having a particularly compelling guest, like he's had Bernie on his show, so I'll make an effort to nap and stay up for it. So I see he's having this guest, Jennifer Skiff, who wrote God Stories.
Mm-hmm.
So I tuned in. I was riveted. And then I emailed her. I went to her website, godstories.com. I emailed Jordan Rich and said, this is incredible. I just got swept up in this and shared my God Stories with some of them with Jennifer on the website. And... It was just like this explosion of synchronicity and being connected. And this book is all about how many of the people who write chapters in the book weren't believers. And then something happened, And they realized, yes, there is a divine. One guy in particular was really disconnected from source. And so he said to God, well, if you really exist, then the New England Patriots are going to win this game. And it was like a hopeless situation. And all these events started happening, and the Patriots won that game.
Oh, my God.
And then it also, you know, opened up other things for him as well. But God Stories by Jennifer Skiff, it's coming out in paperback, and she's just, you can check out her website as well.
How do you spell Skiff?
S-K-I-F-F.
Okay, good.
So that's another great one. And then, of course, we have my wonderful book of poetry, and I donate 20% of the proceeds to Spalding Rehab's Polio Fund.
Yes.
Which helps with research and outreach, and also for those patients who aren't as blessed as I to have my insurance pay for everything, for rehab visits, it's a patient fund, so if there's somebody whose insurance doesn't cover their visit, then we can use that money to help fund their visits to the clinic so they can get the kind of care that I got at Spalding.
Well, you know, that is so generous of you. I know you explained it before, but I don't think you explained it in terms of people not being able to pay for it with their insurance. You know, they might be ringing up bills that make them homeless after a while. So
yeah.
I really appreciate. I mean, literally, people 50% of people's foreclosures on their homes are due to the fact that they can't pay medical expenses. So what you are doing is a tremendous, tremendous gift, and so. Thank you for that. That's wonderful. And what your book of poetry has been published.
Yes, yes.
And
it's available through my website.
And tell us your website again, so for those who will be listening and are listening.
www.newworldgreetings.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you can buy it through my website. It makes a wonderful holiday gift. Because you give while you give, as I like to say. And it's also, I mean, it's just, I put a poem of the week on my website. So there's a poem of the week from the book on my website to give you a teaser. That tradition was started by the Fabulous Ones on another Blog Talk radio show. And I also have a blog, and there's a lot of poetry on my blog that just spontaneously comes out when I'm doing my journaling, as I'm dealing with different situations, and whatever challenge I'm dealing with, it's so amazing how the poetry helps to transform it through love and blessing of the spirit, and it's the greatest gift that I never would have gotten or been aware that I had were it not for all that I've been through. So I'm really grateful.
Is your blog somehow linked to the newworldgreetings.com?
It's newworldgreetings.blogspot.com, and I have a link from my website to the blog.
Good. So just this is a technical question. So you like Blogspot better than most blog platforms?
That's the easiest one for me to use.
Uh-huh.
I haven't done a whole lot of research. Yeah. That's just been sort of the easiest, and it also linked with the Twitter, so I started the two together.
Nice, nice.
And I found that too, so that's interesting, yeah.
We have 50 seconds left on the program.
I can't believe it.
I know, it was just really, you know, easy to talk with you, and isn't it just a tremendous lift? I mean,
always a joy. Just a joy.
Yes, always a joy. We appreciate it so much. And of course, we'll have you back.
Well, thank you. I love you guys so much, and I love tweeting with you, and I'm just so blessed. I am so blessed, and Klaus's music and your spirits and your love, and even though we're in, Joan, you're in North Carolina, South,
I'm
where are you?
South Carolina. South Carolina.
South Carolina, and Kate, you're in New Jersey.
I am in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, home of the Amish and the oldest inlet city in the country.
And I'm up here in Boston, so we just, you know what? We just hooked up a beam of love from Boston all the way down the coast.
I love it. I will keep that totally strongly in my mind. It's beautiful.
Thank you so very much.
And we will see you again, and we will visit your site and, of course, recommend it to many people. And I'm going to be playing the music of Klaus Jensen and Henrique Burke Abu. So thank you. Thank you, Joan. Love to you. Love to you, Mary.
Love and hugs. God bless you both.
Yeah, thank you. Good night.
Good night.